Sponsorship of the KQED live audio stream comes from Xfinity Mobile, featuring customized wireless plans. Customers can choose unlimited, buy the gig, shared data, or a mix of both and switch it up anytime. Learn more at xfinitymobile.com.
This is Health Dialogues. As Sacramento slashes healthcare funding to balance the budget, where do all the spending cuts leave low-income patients?
I would be lost without the health services here. I wouldn't know where to turn. I would have to go begging, I guess.
Community clinics are scrambling to fill the gaps, and waiting lists for drug treatment grow longer by the day.
If you don't get offenders into treatment that they need right now, then the likelihood of them entering treatment or before they're rearrested is not good.
Will national health care reform help fix the system or only bring a new set of problems? I'm Scott Schaefer, and this is Health Dialogues, a statewide broadcast of the California Report and KQED Public Radio. We'll get started right after this. And welcome once again to Health Dialogues. I'm Scott Schaefer. The memories of this summer's budget standoff in Sacramento are beginning to fade into autumn, but the fallout of those spending cuts is just now being felt in California's health and social safety net. From patients in rural areas to clients struggling with diabetes or asthma, and people needing help with broken teeth they can't afford to fix, thousands of low-income and working poor Californians worry their health care may be in jeopardy as a result of the new budget. In a minute, we'll take a closer look at those issues, but first, let's listen to some of their concerns.
Just recently, I had to sign up for public assistance, so I had Medi-Cal through because of my child, and then I had dental insurance for 3 months, and then they cut me off. They cut off the dental for the parents. And through when I had the Medi-Cal, all I could do was get my, it's very limited. I got tooth pulled. They wouldn't cover a lot of things. But I was grateful just that they were able to do the extractions and some of the limited services they offered. But now this tooth is becoming decayed because I had to wait so long. I just really want to be healthy. I really want to be healthy for my son. He's all I have. I need to be healthy for myself, but I'm initially it's for my family.
I need to have 3 root canals finished because I started doing them, but I have no job right now, and this is a good chance for me to get them done because it's starting to affect me already.
I like to do sports, track, and basketball, so that might be cut back because, I mean, if I broke like a bone or anything, it'd be a lot to go to even the hospital or a visit to the clinic.
I was diagnosed with AIDS in 1994 because of a T-cell count of less than 200. I'm here for my regular, mental health appointment. I see a counselor here. My income was at a level of $907 a month. It was then reduced to, well, it's currently at $850, so they've knocked out $57 a month from a very low income. So that is challenging.
That was Ronald Fields in Guerneville, and before him, Corey Lesser and Delia Duran in Los Angeles, followed by Jackie Diaz of Woodland, all of them sharing their concerns about cuts to health care funding for low-income Californians. One of the nastier battles during this year's state budget crisis centered on Healthy Families, an insurance program that covers the children of California's working poor. A budget deal this summer would have slashed the program budget by more than a third, a move expected to leave hundreds of thousands of children without health coverage. But earlier this month, the legislature reversed course. Sarah Varney reports on the battle over Healthy Families and how it affects kids caught in the middle.
When it looked like Healthy Families was about to lose much of its funding earlier this summer, the state froze enrollment. Children who wanted to sign up for coverage were put on a wait list. The list grew by tens of thousands each week. Now, more than 81,000 kids have been waitlisted and have no health insurance. One of them is Jackie Diaz, a 15-year-old high school junior who lives in Woodland, a small town near Sacramento. Her parents own a welding company that had always provided health insurance, but the business could no longer afford the rising premiums, so the family is uninsured for the first time.
I like to play sports, so I got a couple medals for track and field. To surprise, I do shot put and discus.
Track and field and basketball medals line Jackie's colorful room. The walls and ceilings are painted in green and blue stripes, and the room is cool despite the 100-degree heat outside. When the family business dropped insurance coverage, Jackie's mother tried to sign her children up for Healthy Families. They were put on the wait list. Even though some funding for the program is being restored, it will take months for the waitlisted kids to get coverage. In the meantime, Jackie is uninsured and worries that she won't be able to play basketball. She was set to join the varsity team.
If I break a leg, let's say that, it's going to bring stress on the family saying, oh, how much it's going to cost, you know, just for this. And then another, it's, well, we don't have health insurance, so what are we going to do now, you know? It's like, you got so much, like, thoughts go through your head when this happens and you don't know how to solve them.
But there is some hope that Jackie will get to compete this year. In the end, through a combination of taxes on health plans and increases in premiums and co-payments, the legislature found the money to restore Healthy Families funding. Healthy Families Executive Director Leslie Cummings says in anticipation of the new funds, the state is beginning to review applications to make sure they're complete. That way, says Cummings, the applications can be approved and families contacted as soon as the money comes in.
I know that everybody is very eager, as are we, to get things going again, and we're working as fast as we can to do it.
But Wendy Lazarus, president of the children's advocacy group Children's Partnership, says the legislature and the governor should never have cut funding for the program in the first place.
Why did families have to go through this period of uncertainty? Certainly there were tough budget choices that had to be made, but this was a major error to go after this program, and very unfortunate. But the good news now is it's back and stable, at least for the next year.
Anthony Wright of the consumer group Health Access says passing any new revenues to save the program required a vote by two-thirds of the legislature.
That means needing to get Republican votes who have all signed no new tax pledges. And so even though the industry that was being taxed was supporting and actively working for this bill, the final resolution of getting this passed was unclear until the very end. Thankfully, practicality trumped an ideology against taxes.
But even with the apparent happy ending to this year's Healthy Family story, the program's long-term stability is still in question. One of the taxes the program relies on will remain in place for just 2 years. And Wright says that almost guarantees another round of brutal budget negotiations next year. For Health Dialogues, I'm Sarah Varney.